ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। येतु इहावाय गृष्टशाली पत्यो नष्टा शुचाचर नियमनस्थत्वा लज्जा पशु चार्यं चरन्ति ते चपि प्रत्यपूजविन्मूत्र श्लेष्मा मल मल पुनावनवी निपतानि तत् एवापि हत्शितम् अश्नति। Translation in purport to text 22 and 23. A person who is born into a responsible family, such as a Kshatriya, a member of the royal or government servant, but who neglects to execute his prescribed duties according to the religious principles, and who thus becomes degraded, falls down at the time of death into the river known as the Vaitarani. This river, which is a moat surrounding hell, is full of ferocious aquatic animals. When the sinful man is thrown into the river Vaitarani, the aquatic animals there immediately begin to eat him. But because of his extremely sinful life, he does not leave his body. He constantly remembers his sinful activities and suffers terribly. In that river, which is full of stool, urine, pus, blood, hair, nails, bones, marrow, flesh, and fat. 23. The shameless husbands of low-born sudra women live exactly like animals, and therefore they have no good behavior, cleanliness, or regulated life. After death, such persons are thrown into a hell called Puyoda, where they are put into an ocean filled with pus, stool, urine, mucus, saliva, and similar things. Sudras who could not improve themselves fall into that ocean and are forced to eat those disgusting things. The training goes on. For a pig body, you're thrown into a place like that where it's all stool and everything like that. And this is disgusting, but you've got to read because there's nothing else to eat and you're hungry. So then you have to eat the stool and it's disgusting. And the next day, another one comes along and says, oh, that was better than yesterday's one. Actually, it's a little bit better. Maybe warmer or softer or something. But it's better than yesterday's one. And then he starts to make discrimination. Then actually he likes, really like, that was really good. So then he's ready for the pig body. So then from there, he's got the pig consciousness, and now he gets the pig body and he can like it. Srila Narottam Das Thakur sang, this is a purport. Kama kanda jnana kanda kevala vishera banda amrita bali keva kaya nanayoni shadapiri kedari bakshanakari tarajanma adapatiyaya. He says that persons following the path of kama kanda and jnana kanda, fruitive activities and speculative thinking, are missing the opportunity for human birth and gliding down into a hellish, into the cycle. They glide down into the cycle of birth and death. Thus, there is always chance that he may be put into the Payuda Naraka, the hell named Payudo, where one is forced to eat stool, urine, pus, mucus, saliva, and other abominable things. It is significant that this verse is spoken especially about the sutras. If one is born a sutra, he must continually return to the ocean of Payoda to to eat horrible things. Thus, even a born sudra is expected to become a brahmana. That is the meaning of human life. Everyone should improve himself. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4:13, Chaturvanya mayasvishtam guna kama vikasha. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. Even if one is, by qualification, a sudra, he must try to improve his position and become a brahmana. No one should try to check a person, no matter what his present condition is, from coming to the platform of a brahmana or a Vaishnava. Actually, one must come to the platform of Vaishnava, then automatically he becomes a brahmana. This can be done only if the Krishna consciousness movement is spread, for we are trying to elevate everyone to the platform of Vaishnava. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Sarvadhanam parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja. Abandon all other duties and simply surrender unto me. One must give up the occupational duties of a Shudra, Kshatriya or a Vaishya and adopt the occupational duties of a Vaishnava, which include the activities of a Brahmana. Krishna explains this in the Bhagavad Gita 9:32, mam hi parta vyakrishta yepi shu papajonya sviyas vaishas tatha shudras tipyanti param katim. O son of Prita, those who take shelter in me, though they be of the low birth, women, vaishas, merchants, as well as sudras, the workers, can approach the supreme destination. Human life is especially meant for going back home, back to Godhead. That facility should be given to everyone, whether one is a sudra or a vaishya, a woman or a kshatriya. This is the whole purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. However, if one is satisfied to remain a sudra, he must suffer, as described in this verse, tat iti bidhakshitam anishnati. Eat disgusting, abominable things. Om agyanti mimirandasya jinanjanan shalakriyatakshura militandrina tasmas. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadatha, Shiva Shari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. So, it's everyone's birthright to go back home, back to Godhead. Everyone is a Vaishnava. Every soul, Jiva Surupa Nitya Krishna Das, he's eternal servant of Krishna. By birth, he's right, he should go back to Godhead. That is his natural claim as the eternal servant of Krishna. So, there is nothing in between the jiva and his service to Krishna. In fact, as Gita Nagari pointed out some weeks ago, the only thing eternal in this world is the jiva and the holy name, Krishna and the holy name. That's all. So that's what we're dealing with. We are the jiva. We happen to be the jiva, and we have the holy name by the grace of the Vaishnavas. And that's all we need, our relationship with the holy name. That's eternal. Everything else is temporary in this world. So that's of importance. So to identify oneself as a Brahman or Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or a woman, Vaishya, these are not actually our real identity. So one shouldn't stay on the platform of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. He may act on that platform, but his consciousness shouldn't be on that platform. His identity shouldn't be on that platform. His identity should be that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. So everyone has the birthright to go back home, back to Godhead. Everyone has a birthright to worship the deity, Krishna. We have many rules. You got to go to the Mayapur Academy and get your certificate. Then you can worship Krishna. Or there has to be qualification. But actually that's to bring you to the point of a brahmana so you can worship the deity. But even we're not brahmanas. Even we worship the deity, still we're not brahmana. We are a Vaishnava, we are servant of Krishna. So everyone is the eternal servant of Krishna. So can we worship Krishna at home? We're not Brahman initiated. Can we worship Krishna at home? The question often comes up. It's your natural birthright to worship Krishna. Nobody can say you cannot worship Krishna. In the temple we may have some rules and regulations that are govern the deity worship. But at home you are the eternal servant of Krishna. He's your eternal master. You put him in the house. That is what you're supposed to do. So, most probably Prabhupada is bringing this up because there was a class of people who tried to stop or restrict the worship, or it's at least the preaching, maybe more than that. Well, yeah, even the so-called smarter brahmanas, the caste brahmanas, they were critical of Narottam Das Thakur because he wasn't born in a brahmana family and he was initiating, he was making other people brahmanas. A few of our great Vaishnava saints had that experience and they were criticized by the brahminical community. And it's been a long struggle. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur eventually established very firmly the position of Vaishnava is actually even superior than that to Brahmana. And some of the caste Goswamis also, they were saying that the right to preach is ours only. But this is not what Mahaprabhu said. He wants everybody to chant Hare Krishna. He wants everybody to spread the holy name in every town and village of the world. This is the direct order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But there was one class of Goswamis who were saying that no, Mahaprabhu, he sent Nityananda to Bengal to preach. And we're the descendants of Nityananda. So that order is our order. So anyway, if you want to preach, then you have to come through us. But anyway, any kind of blockage to serve Krishna is a material calculation. There is nothing that can stop our service to Krishna. It's a material consideration. So then in Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada was pointing out, all these designations, that the devotees transcend them. At least the philosophy transcends them. If we follow the philosophy, we will also transcend them. You have to put it into practice. And then you become transcendental. Krishna's Prabhupada saying here, or he's quoting Krishna, that anyone can approach the supreme destination. So we have a process that's been given by the acharyas. If we follow that process, we approach that supreme destination. We go back to Godhead, which is the goal. For the living entities to go back home, back to Godhead, if we follow the process given by the acharyas. Because they're on the transcendental platform, so their words, their process all becomes transcendental because it's all connected to Krishna. And if we connect ourselves to this parampara, to the teachings of the parampara of the acharyas, then that is our connection directly with Krishna. If we don't connect, it won't happen, or if we just hear but don't act, it won't happen. Knowledge If you don't put knowledge into practice, it becomes a source of a problem. The Brahmana's knowledge becomes a problem for him if he doesn't use to preach it. So if we hear it, we accept it and we follow it, then the process works. We also become transcendental. And that we qualify to go back home, back to God. Krishna says that the living entity, what is that verse? Because he makes offering to the Supreme Brahman, he becomes Brahman. The offering is Brahman. The Jagannath is Brahman. Everything becomes Brahman because it's all offering offered to Brahman. So the living entity attains his natural status of Brahman by offering everything to Krishna. Everything becomes Krishnaized or Brahmanized. And then he goes back home, back to Godhead. This is Parikshit Maharaj's question to Shukadeva Goswami. How we can understand what is transcendence? It's beyond the sense perception, yet we're trying to understand what's beyond transcendence with our mind, which is a material tool. With material tools, how we can approach transcendence. So, Riksha was saying, I don't see how it's possible to understand transcendence. We're dealing with sound vibration. The Vedas are dealing with sound vibrations which are vibrated in material ether. It's a sound, material sound vibration that comes into the material world. The Vedas are a sound vibration, but they come into this material world. So how we can understand transcendence with a material sound vibration? Anyway, Shukadeva Goswami goes on to explain that if we connect it to Krishna, anything that's connected to Krishna takes on its transcendental nature, because everything is Krishna's energy anyway. When we utilize it for Krishna's service, it takes on its original transcendental nature. Krishna can turn matter into spirit, he can turn spirit into matter. That is his prerogative. So when everything is used in the service of Krishna, it takes on Krishna's nature. And therefore it becomes transcendental, and the living entity becomes transcendental. Therefore he can receive transcendence as grace. And then in that situation he can understand Krishna. And go back home, back to Godhead. So nobody can interfere with anybody's path back home, back to Godhead. No manufactured philosophy or caste or birthright. No, the real birthright of the soul is that he's eternal servant of Krishna, so he can worship Krishna. So, and Prabhupada's pointing out here that actually this is the Krishna consciousness movement. It's actually to transcend everyone beyond the modes of material nature to the transcendental position, to go back home, back to Godhead. Otherwise, without this Krishna consciousness movement, the only destination is hell, practically. Because even if you're in the mode of goodness and a brahmana, you also make many mistakes, and some mistakes may be there. So the only sure guarantee is to transcend the modes of goodness even completely. So that is the Krishna consciousness movement, and practically there's no other movement that's doing that. The best of the movements are giving you liberation. Transcendent, at least they're transcendental, those that give promised liberation. But how many of them are actually taking you beyond liberation back home, back to Godhead? That's very, very rare. You don't find it. This is Prabhupada established a society for this purpose. We'd never even heard of it before. We'd never heard of Krishna before. We'd never heard of devotional service. We'd never heard of back to Godhead before. So where were we? We were somewhere in the modes of material nature. And that's the situation of the whole world today. They're all within these mixtures of the material nature. So almost positively, everyone's going to go to hell for the suffering he's caused others, and what he has done wrong against the Vedas. So this is the position. So more or less everybody has to see hell. At the time of death, your bad activities, you have to experience hell. And here, so many hells are related. But there's some good news. Because like this, you walk down the A.D. Yojana road burning hot and you're being whipped and beaten and the dogs are biting you and you're putting into these rivers of blood and pus, and it's only lasts this long. It's a flash. When you leave this body, you under superior dictation, you get your next body. The moment you leave this body, you move into the next body. Vasudeva's example, just see how the plant worm, the caterpillar, he transfers himself to one plant to another. When his back legs are firmly fixed on that branch, then he moves the front legs to the next branch. This way he moves. So similarly, he said, this is the soul. He has to leave the body. The new body is being fashioned by Krishna's dictation. He dictates to material energy. This soul has this particular karma. You fashion this particular womb. This living entity is in the karma. Yes, according to his karma. So Krishna instructs material energy, material nature, to fashion that next womb. When it's ready, then Krishna, he takes the soul from this body to that body. So that's the time it takes to change from one body to another. It's just almost immediately. That's how long the hellish planet is. But, don't get too happy with that good news. The experience, the experience is you are walking through that 80,000 mile burning road and being, you are constantly being thrown off the mountains. You don't die. You're drowning in this ocean of blood and stool, and you don't die and you're eating it. Constantly, it's like a lifetime. The experience is a lifetime, but it's actually just as brief as a lightning flash. But experience is the main thing, right? In this life, as you rasa, our experience is what we're all about. So we have to actually experience it. It does feel like you actually walk that 80,000 mile road. So therefore most people have to see hell for a little while. That's kind of the, just before they move into their next body. So many hells here. And we see so many hells also for different kinds of sexual activities are being spoken of here. And the result is very hellish. You have to embrace a hot iron woman or a hot iron man. You can imagine that. You get a little blister on your finger sometimes, you jump. Imagine it. They got some nice pictures in the book you can look at. You're forced to. That means your whole body blisters and burning and you don't die. Then you've got to do it again and again and again. You get when you go to these hellish planets, you get a subtle body. It's not the mind, intelligence and ego. It's a little bit grosser than that, but it's not gross, earth, water, fire and air. But it's somewhere in between. It's for punishment. Because this one, you don't die. You should die billions of times, but you don't die. Because you've got to experience all the pain and everything like that. So you get this special subtle body. And it doesn't die. So then you can go through all these hellish planets. And it appears that because there's so many sexual offenses mentioned here, that you leave one hell and you're on your way to the next one, right? Because each hell is dealing with different offenses. So it looks like you can go from... You're leaving one hell, you can step into another hell. And you leave that when you step into another. to deal with all the variety of different kinds of offenses here. So it's a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. What is there? The highest adiras of Radha Krishna. It's reflected here as the most abominable activity, and therefore it's even punishable by hell. But the good thing for the devotees, they don't have to see it. Those who worship Krishna, his friend, Krishna is saying here, sarvadhanam parityaja mamikam. So you've given up all those dharmas that take you to hell. Even your dharma of being a paka brahmana. You give up all of those dharmas. And Krishna says, I will dharma sarva papibhyo. I'll protect you from all that sinful reaction. So devotees, they don't have to see hell. Those who are surrendered to Krishna. But others do. And even we see that even in temples they have these pictures, erotic pictures of sex life with animals and things like that. It's all mentioned in this was yesterday's purport. Having sex with animals and things like that. That you can get that depicted at some famous temples in Konark. If you go there, the Sun Temple, don't go there. I went there before as a brahmachari, it's okay. You can't go there, otherwise. But it's got all these depictions, you know, carved in the wall. Even in Jagannath Puri Temple, on some parts of that building, they have all these carved erotic scenes. Lots of them been plastered over. I think that during Vaishnav periods, they plastered it all over. But there is some reason behind that, because it's also mentioned in some of the lower shastras that the temple should have these erotic, I can't remember, there's one reason, there's two reasons, I can't remember the other one, but one reason is that it's like, it's like you're going to see Lord Jagannath, the Lord Vishnu, the Lord of the universe. Here is the sex of the material world, it's represented by, material world means sex, it's represented by sexual. So if you're attracted before you enter the Vishnu temple by these material attractions, then you kind of lose your credibility to see. So you have to be focused, you're going to see Vishnu, you know, you disregard anything else. There's another reason, I can't quite remember what it was. But anyway, this is giving in some of the lesser shastras. There are these descriptions in the lower shastras. And we see that we even have the Kama Sutras. So it's old knowledge, even Chunguviti Devi, she knows the art of the Kama Sutras. So even though it's given there in the Shastra, but somehow or another you still got to suffer if you become attached to this illicit activities. There's a hell's waiting for everyone. Even in the Iliad, the Greek mythology, Iliad is quoted by Homer. I remember reading when I was young. Anyway, so the Greek mythology book is a very big one. But they have all, they kind of worship demigods and things like that. But then they used to have a man, he's called the Beasticles, and he would train up the animals to have sex with women. That was his job. Even goes back to Greek, was about several thousand years ago. So there were that, all that kind of thing was going on several thousand years ago. Wait, it must be going on since. Prabhupada actually tells a story of. Because he says how men have sex with cows, yesterday's verse, have sex with cows and a woman has sex with dog. Prabhupada said there was one president in India and maybe I shouldn't mention his name for the patriotics. But anyway, he was a president in India and he used to have sex with his sister apparently. And he was the one who influenced the British. He liked the British. He wanted to make. So Prabhupada said, and astrologers, they calculated his next birth. And the astrologer said he took birth in Sweden as a poodle dog. One woman there, she had two pet poodle dogs. Oh, the little poodle. They shave them and they leave a little bit here. Those funny little dogs. Two pet dogs who she has sex with. This woman had, these are her pet dogs she keeps. So from the president, being the president of India, to a dog. This is the karma. So naturally he went through, he had to see all that hellish suffering first. And Purushottam Maharaj gave a class some time ago, and he was saying in his village, when they die, they call the Brahmana in, and they do a kind of atonement thing. They beg forgiveness for any, sin, all their sinful activities. It's an atonement. So they call the Brahmana in to give him his blessings. And then the man, he was admitting his different sins. And he admitted, I had sex with Mother Cow. So the Brahmana said, okay, I will accept that sin. And he said, in the presence of everyone, that man accepted it, the Brahmana accepted it, and they said, his body went blackish. It just, they all witnessed, all the people in the room witnessed. He actually absorbed the sin of having sex with an animal, and his body went completely, not completely black, but he went blackish. It was noticeably blackish. I don't know if it was enough to eradicate his going to hell or not, but so here the greatest pleasure, material world, sex life, you've got the greatest suffering, you've got to see all the, you get more hells for the greatest so-called pleasure, you got more hells to accommodate that. There's so many different varieties of ways of having sex life, you got so many varieties of hells. Someone told me the other day that Coca-Cola is a sex symbol, the bottle. First time I'd heard that, because it's shapely, like, you know, like a woman's shape. Coca-Cola bottle is a big seller. They use it a lot. So, Prabhupada says, he said there was a man in Calcutta, he spent 80,000 rupees on having monkey glands transplanted in his body, because monkeys have a very good sex appetite. They have 20 or 30 wives. So they transplant, they kill a monkey, they get the glands, they transplant them to the human, and that makes him very excited and strong sexually. Frank Sinatra had a transformation. He's a great singer in the Western country. Very great actor and singer, but he also had that transplant to improve their sexual ability. They have different medicines now. The one called Viagra. Don't ask me how I know. But somebody told me that they mentioned it in class. it's interesting because Viagra is the name of Krishna's pet dog. So they call this medicine, I think it means actually tiger in Sanskrit. It's Krishna's pet dog. Mr. Playboy. In America they have what they call the Playboy Club. It's very famous, and the symbol is like a bunny rabbit with two big ears or something. I don't know. They have magazine and things like that. So he was the owner of this night. It was a nightclub, and there's all these girls dressed in something, and the men go there, and and they have drinks, and the women come and they talk to them, and then whatever they do. So that was his business. But he was becoming sexually impotent. He was very disappointed. But then they found this drug, this new drug, Viagra. And he took it. He was very, very happy that now he could, even in old age, he can continue his sex life. So we can well understand the destination of these people. So what's the greatest attraction in the spiritual world? It takes you to hell in the material world. If you consider the greatest enjoyment, it takes you into hell. But people do not know. This is the goal of life. Everybody knows it. Sex life is the ultimate goal of life. Why is it being propagated so much? They have no information, they have no knowledge of what their next life will be. There's one in France, there was a great revolution there. And it's during the time of Marie Antoinette. Any French people here? Anybody know the history? Marie Antoinette, yes? Anyway, she was a queen. And there was a great famine. And they couldn't, there was no food. So all the peasants were coming to her palace and they were complaining, "Your Majesty, the peasants, the citizens are hungry, we've got no food. It's your responsibility to look after us." So they were coming, they went one daily with the leaders of the village, the kingdom, the peasants, the workers, the poor people. The queen obviously had a lot of grains and stuff. But anyway, they were, "Your Majesty," she said, "what is all the commotion going on outside?" And, "Majesty, the peasants are hungry. They have no bread." So Marie Antoinette said, "They have no bread. Then feed them cake." So, feed them cake. This was the last straw. So they thought, "What kind of queen is this? King of queen is this? They're making fun of us. We're starving and you eat cake." So they rebelled, and that was the French Revolution. They overturned the throne, got rid of the king and queen. "We don't want king and queen. You're not looking after us." So they killed all the royal stock. They killed. So it's described in the biographies that they were being taken to the guillotine, and that they used to have to cut the head off. They used to use the guillotine in the old days, big sharp blade. You put your head there and cut your head off. So they were going on the way to the guillotine. They were in a wagon, a covered wagon, wooden wagon. Now they're criminals. They were the king and queens and royal stock. Now they're on the way to the guillotine, cut their head off. So I said, the constables, they were looking through the covered wagon, the queen and the king, on their way to the death. They were having sex. Last bit of the happiness. "We got a few minutes left to live. We're gonna cut off our head. Few minutes, let's have sex, because that's the greatest happiness we can." This is how fool the whole world is. And as a result, then, see these hells repeatedly. But if we follow Krishna's instructions, sarvadhanam paritya mamikam saranam tajaham tam sarva pibiyo mokshayashvima sucha. Then Krishna will save you from all kinds of sinful activity. So this is the Krishna consciousness movement. And practically this is the only movement that's actually presenting a solution to the problem. If you think about it. Who else is doing it? I mean, others have got the philosophy, but they're not so active in preaching it. And who has got the philosophy is only a few people, really, in consider in comparison to the whole population of the world. You've got a few sampradayas, four sampradayas. But out of those who are actually preaching, hardly anyone. So unless you're like born around in that society, you have practically no chance. So Krishna consciousness is that movement that Prabhupada started. It's going out to the people, it's going out to the uncultured places of the world, is giving Krishna consciousness, that saves us from these horrible degradations of thinking we're going to be happy in the material world. Prabhupada said the members of the international society should become convinced that there is no happiness in this material world. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Nitai Gopremanandi. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Pray take a problem.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada mentioned many times to his disciples and it's in some of his books that the age of 50 is the date at which all sexual activity for the human being should end. And he said it's just like a red light when you reach 50 years old, especially for the grihasthas, those who are already brahmachari, this advice doesn't apply, but for grihasthas, age 50, everything should cease connected with sexual activity.
Comment. It's a comment. It's a comment. Yeah. Yes, thank you very much. After 50, okay? Seventy is even worse. Because at 50, you're still quite strong actually. There's still senses are still quite strong. So you're gonna take vanaprasa and practice austerities and 70, the senses are not strong. So they start to go down. Everything dwindles at that time. The sight dwindles, hearing dwindles, taste dwindles, belly dwindles, genital dwindles. Everything dwindles at that time. Now it's not so much a question of renunciation, it's a question of fact. That now actually I can't enjoy it. The deep-rooted desire is that I want to be I'm the enjoyer here. Controller and enjoyer, that's the roots, cause of being in the material world. And this is our main identity as long as we've been in the material world. I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer. That is practically our identity through every species of life. Now you come to this point of a human in 70, then actually then the senses start to become too weak. You can't enjoy it. Before 50 you can enjoy it still. So that still that conception is there, I can still enjoy it. The 70 or 80, they're not working the senses, that's why they have the monkey transplant. So then there comes rebellion. I've had this identity a long time, now I can't have it. So it's something that psychologists, modern psychologists have said. They've given it a name, what's it, Daba? Pancharatna was giving an explanation. When a person, they're nearing death, especially if they got some terminal disease, you're going to die. For the devotees, we think we're going to die anyway. We got time. We're looking for that. We don't have so much problem. But when they're notified they're going to die, first thing is there is denial. D-A-B-A, Daba. Denial. No, I don't want to die. Or why me? So, D-A. No, some alternative. I'll do some more chemotherapy. I'll do this. I'll do that. Alternative. I'm not going to die. D, A, then B. What's the name? Oh, bargain. Bargain. This is psychological that most people go through at the time of death. The devotees don't have to do it. But it's there. It's psychological anyway. Bargain. As Prabhupada says, the man said, give me 2 more years. I have so many plans to finish. Doctor, I have so many more plans. Please give me 2 more years to live so I can... No, it's not like that. When it's time to go, your time. But anyway, he tried to bargain. But we tried to make some bargain with Krishna. Give me... Oh, they don't have Krishna, but they'll bargain. That fails, then... A, acceptance. A, the last A is acceptance. Then they actually accept. I got cancer, I'm going to die. Okay. Just forget about it. Okay, I'm just going to wait for it now. The 4 non-devotees, they've got to wait for death. Of course, devotees are happy. That's good. But at least we got our notice. Don't have to worry anymore. So now, really hear, really chant, and focus on hearing and chanting. So dhava. So it's a psychological thing that everybody's going to go through, even if we're a devotee, because we're psychic people, we have psychological impulses. So then there's when you can't use the sense organs anymore, even if you want to. 50 you can. Still a strong man. 70, 80 you can't do it anymore. But then somehow, no, no, but that's my identity, I'm the enjoyer, I cannot say. So then there comes that frustration. So we've got to go through all these periods. That's great, the Vanaprastha period of 50, this. But then in that you've got periods to get through also. Get rid of that final deep-rooted identity of that I'm the enjoyer. It's the reason why we came in the material world. This is the actual reason, this desire to be the controller and enjoyer. It's the last to go. But anyway, we have the information and we have the process and we have the devotees. So we absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness. Then we can see these things. Oh, it's something, it's psychological, it's coming and it'll go. If we don't get hung up about it, we got a positive alternative, Krishna consciousness. Hearing, chanting, dancing. But for the karmis, almost everybody goes through this dhabba, except the yeah. Anyway, those 4 processes the karmis go through. Thank you for the comment. Anything else? Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai.